Major Nerds.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Niger Speaking Out. Today, we kick off by celebrating Arsenal at the top of the league. Dapo, congratulations for that.
Thank you very much. Yes.
While some other people are languishing in God knows what position now. Anyway, on to the main episode.
Whenever fighting with you, like, just go and take your first or second and go now. Why are you involving me in this matter? Involving my club. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, spoken like a winner. And you see the way you're sounding like someone that has already given up hope. Like, why?
Well, to the demon, he sounds like we did a few years back.
That's all right.
Okay, so now I'm back to the main comics this thing for the week. So with me, Kex and Dapo, someone that's ready regular is unfortunately not regular today.
He's
very irregular, but okay. We'll remind him of this next week because
of
you've been following this podcast, you know how much he has been making noise about how regular he has always been.
He managed to attend like 4 episodes in a row and
he gave himself a new title.
Yeah. it's a big achievement.
Oh my geez. But yeah. Also, quickly some news items that we'll touch on. The Oscars happened this weekend. And the only bit that concerns us is the best animated feature movie. And that went to The Boy and the Heron instead of Across the Spider-Verse or even Super Mario that wasn't nominated.
Special guest star, Super Mario Brothers.
I already mentioned,
yeah. So, Kex, what did you think about it?
You know what? First of all, full disclosure, I haven't watched The Boy and the Heron. And I like Miyazaki enough, but I felt I like him enough, but honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of his animated features. I enjoy them, but would I say they are the very peak of animation for me? No, I wouldn't. And I wasn't particularly interested in watching The Boy and the Heron. It has a great voice cast, and it feels like everyone in Hollywood wanted to work on this. So I feel it's, I don't know whether it's less about the actual quality of the animation and more of the hype of the producer and the director. You know, I think it's more the name and the caliber that it's kind of like when Spielberg does a film, it's almost like a big event, whether or not you like it, unless it's like maybe The Fabelmans or something. It's either going to be an Oscar darling in terms of getting lots of nominations, or it's going to be a box office, hit. I felt it was unfair. For me, I would have easily, like, without doubt, gone for Across the Spider-Verse. It hit a lot of emotional beats. It made a lot of money. I really, truly don't know what else, those guys have to do to get an Oscar. They didn't get an Oscar for Into the Spider-Verse, did they?
I think they did.
I'm
pretty sure they did.
Oh, okay. For animated feature or for soundtrack or something ridiculous like that?
I'll double check that, but I'm not sure any movie was better than them that year. They won for animated feature, yeah. Oscar.
Oh, they did. Okay, brilliant. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, are you so sure that this won't deserve another Oscar part two?
Well, I was also so sure that Mario would. would be a nominee, not win. But I was like, oh gosh, that's a good question because when you're like, am I so sure that it deserved it? I enjoyed it, but I don't know if I would 100% say that it deserved it. So let me back off.
Okay,
The Boy and the Heron might actually be that.
No, I'm saying that, assuming you can give Oscars to all the movies that deserve it, would you give Across the Spider-Verse an Oscar based on its merits? You are muted, Kex.
I kept saying absolutely and I was muted. Yeah, 100%. Like, from a technical point of view, it was better than the first one. Just, the voices, they were back, they were better. The animation was slightly tweaked. And because we could see different other universes as well. Like, we could see Gwen's world, yeah, and we could see a little bit of Hobie's. And I mean, come on, Hobie's animation alone is brilliant, and fitting that in.
And we saw Mumbai something. I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, New Delhi, New Mumbai, something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, come on, I would easily give it one. I would, I truly would.
Okay, Dako, what of you?
I mean, I don't think the Burning Heron deserves it at all. I think, I don't know, I'll talk to some people, but you know when some people are celebrated for what they do, I think by default, whenever they create something new, there's a lot of, oh, this guy, oh, he's revered, he did Spirited the way, oh, we all love him. I looked at the trailer. I haven't watched the film, but looking at the trailer, I had no inclination to even watch the film, if I'm being honest. I'm not saying it's a bad film, don't get me wrong, by any means, but I'm just, if it's anything like The Spirited Way, which a lot of reviews kind of like try to, I just think, okay, that was okay. I don't think anything great. Now that you've mentioned the fact that Into the Spider-Verse won the Oscar last year, I can almost understand why they wouldn't give it again. I always believe there's some inherent snobbery in Hollywood anyway against superhero fare.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that you won last year and then the sequel to win again this year.
I mean, last year. I mean, 2 years.
Oh, sorry. The original one, and therefore the sequel to win again. I can almost imagine, you know, their noses going up in the air. And now we've had enough of this, you know, this comic books for kids kind of fare. Yeah. And I can see why it was not given. I'm pretty sure, and I'm saying this now, and anybody out there who wants to come and tackle me, I'm pretty sure that Across the Spider-Verse is 10 times better than The Burning Heron.
Jesus Christ.
and I'll say that there. Apologies to Kiva, who I was having a discussion with one of our...
It wasn't a discussion, it was an argument.
Okay, a debate with Kiva, and... Halfway through the debate, she said, well, I've not seen The Burning Heron yet. And I was sniggering inside because I hadn't seen it either, but she didn't know that.
And audience, this is how you hit. You don't watch a film and you just judge it based on your previous bias. So if you're looking for examples in how to hit, look at these two old men who are hating a movie they've not seen yet.
Well, no, like, I'm not hating on it. I'm giving an opinion on it. I've not seen it.
How do you have an opinion on something you've not seen?
He said 10 times. He gave you a number. He said, no, 10 times.
So you're saying even if Across the Spider-Verse is a 10 over 10 movie, the best The Boy and the Arrow can aspire to is a 1 over 10 movie.
In comparison.
Oh, gosh. Like, okay. There are levels to this interesting, and it's fine. Personally, I like Across the Spider-Verse, but I probably won't. I don't think it's as good as the first one. Counts with the odd duck out. It's stronger in some elements, but I feel overall story-wise, it's weaker as well. So I'm not overly bothered that it didn't win the Oscar. And we all know
the kind of stories. Can I pick you up on that point?
Yeah.
For me, it's not about whether this is better than the first one.
Yeah.
For me, is it better than everything else that is going up against this year in the Oscars? Would be my question.
I mean, you've not seen The Boy and the Arrow, so honestly, we cannot make that argument against it. But so I'm just comparing it to the first one. Now, there are only two movies that have won Oscars for being sequels, and that's The Godfather 2 and Lord of the Rings 2. And both films, I think, in my opinion, were significantly better than the first movies. And
I agree with both.
No,
yeah.
No, so sorry.
Terminator 2 has to have won.
No, and that their first movies won Oscars.
Lord of the Rings won an Oscar?
Yeah. That their first movies won Oscars, and yeah.
I always thought it's only the second one that won. I didn't realize the first one won an Oscar as well.
Okay, no, not the first one. These are the only two sequels that have won Oscars. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I'm with you.
Those are the only two sequels that have won Oscars. Yeah, yeah. And for me, you need to be way better than your first movie to qualify to win the Oscar. Because I don't know. That's just well, my.
I mean, again, this might be my bias.
I think all three
of those Lord of the Rings films were all the same and all meh. So
we understand your bias.
No, I've never found films. It's one of the few films that I think are epic films that I've always said to people that I've watched all three and I even bought the extended versions and I've watched all of them. And yet it's a film that when I think about it, there's nothing epic. No epic scene comes to my mind. I didn't find anything epic. I found a lot of these action scenes, a bit soulless, if I'm being honest. But you know, okay. I don't know why I'm going off track on talking. All the talking fanboys will come for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that one Oscar. I think I forgot to mention it because it was a posthumous Oscar, Dark Knight.
Oh, that's right.
That was for the actor.
For the actor.
Yeah.
Not the movie. So let's keep it there. But yeah, so that's like the level I'm seeing. It's like, okay, achievement in filmmaking and all of that. But yeah, okay, that's my opinion.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
You might have answered this, or I might have misunderstood what you were saying. Has any film won an Oscar for the original and the sequel?
I do not think so. That is a good question. Oof.
I don't think so.
Best for best movie.
Yes.
Not for like best, what is best actor, what is best. No, I say.
I'm not sure. I don't think. If it's best movie, that would be.
No. There hasn't.
That would be a great double feat.
There hasn't been. I don't think.
No, there is.
Which one?
The one you mentioned.
Godfather.
Yeah, one and two won it.
For best picture?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Best picture. Yeah.
Amazing. Wow.
The Godfather series is the only film series with multiple best picture winners. Yeah. So they won it for one and two. And I can't even argue that, if I'm being honest.
No, I can't. Yeah, I'm just... Yeah.
Fair enough.
Wow, I'm just blown away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So... Moving on from Oscars to DC announcements, because it seems like it's every week now we get a DC announcement. So this week it's about Peacemaker Season 2. And James Gunn is now clarifying canon and what is not canon. So apparently Season 1 of Peacemaker will not be canon to the new DCU going forward. Season 2 would have the same characters, maybe same relationships, but it would be a completely different story from Season 1. Everything you've seen in Season 1... So it would be more like what Suicide Squad 2 did to Suicide Squad 1.
Right, okay.
Where you have the same characters...
So let me ask a question. Why then is it a Season 2?
Because there's a Season 1 and people like the Season 1.
No. We've got precedents where a season one will be called, let's say, if I were to say Peacemaker,
yeah,
and then the next season will be called Peacemaker: The Chronicles. Something along those lines.
Okay,
yeah, that's a good question.
I think they just didn't think about that. They didn't think of going that angle. Okay. They didn't think of going that angle because I understand why he's doing this. Because if you remember, at the end of Season 1, there was that whole scene with Aquaman, The Flash, Superman, Diana. It's difficult to reconcile that with what he's trying to do now. So now he's like, you know what? Just disregard that stuff that I did there. I was having a laugh. Forget Season 1. Enjoy it by itself. But now, we're now going in continuity with what happens in Season 2. So Season 2 will... Like they said, it's going to happen after the events of Superman.
Superman, yeah.
Yes. So I assume there will be some characters. It might be Perry White. It might be, what's that boy's name? Jimmy Olsen, that might appear here. Or they might make some reference to something that happened in Metropolis that we'll see in Superman. So I understand the logic of, forget Season 1. Have fun, enjoy it. But Season 2 now, going forward. And the same with perhaps, maybe not Penguin, but with Waller. And Creature Commandos or something. It might be part of one whole big universe. But Penguin is obviously part of the Batman universe. with
I'm with you.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Okay, that makes so. But yeah, I'm not sure how confusing it will be because, like, in the future, so people are going to watch Peacemaker season 1 and 2 together. They're going to binge it. So yeah, errors. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I think that's my core concern. It's the fact they just call it season 2, and not everybody's gonna be on board or aware of the whole. Oh, we stopped the DCU. We're now doing DCU and DCU. Yeah. And
like, okay.
Yeah, unless they do something in the beginning of season 2
that makes it clear.
Yeah, that makes it clear. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
On a parallel world or something like that, in a different universe from what you saw last season. Yeah. Yes, maybe, I don't know. Because it's funny because in that season they built a lot of relationships, especially, I don't know why I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of Eagle. It's Eagle. And, yes. You know, I like all that season. So to me, are you going to just show them like that without going back and explaining it again? I don't know. I think I'm overthinking this.
Yo, yeah, we'll
I think it'll still happen.
I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just being a bit, at the moment, I'm just being a fanboy and nitpicking continuity and whatnot.
Mm. So we'll see how it goes with them. But yeah, good luck to the filmmakers. And yeah, we are looking forward to 2025, the year of Gone. And see how it delivers. Okay.
So, before we move away from that, 2025 is the year of DC, right?
Yes.
There's nothing big or coming from Marvel in that year, right?
Oh, no. There's a lot of big things coming from Marvel.
No.
Fantastic Four.
That's not going to happen.
You see the confidence that you're seeing it with.
Oh my god. Okay. Why? They already picked a date, they've casted their actors, to start filming.
They'll push it back by a year.
You sure? You're so certain of this?
Yeah,
9 months, 6 months, yeah. Something like that.
Okay, well, if you say so, I don't have... So that's assuming Marvel makes the right decision. In their world where they're currently fighting proxy battles from CEO level, I have no faith in how Marvel is making decisions.
Sorry, is that happening?
There's a big battle for the ownership of Disney. A proxy battle happening between Bob Iger and...
Oh, of Marvel?
Of Disney.
Oh, so Disney itself. Oh, wow.
Yeah, Disney. So you have Bob Iger on one side. You have, I think, even Perlmutter, Nicolas Pierce, and some people are mentioning.
I don't get this, but I thought Iger was just brought back recently.
Yes. He came back. He came Chapek out.
And then Perlmutter, I thought Perlmutter was like, his wings
were clipped. Perlmutter is long gone.
Yeah, so what?
No, so there's another person, a billionaire, that is fighting against Bob Iger. He's saying Bob Iger, Disney is failing. Bob Iger is in charge. He needs more shares to take control. On his side, we have people like Perlmutter who are just, I think, getting back at Iger for firing him.
On his side.
And there are some people shouting Elon Musk is also sponsoring. Yeah, because Elon Musk is it's Bob Iger as well. If you remember the old Twitter debacle of Disney pulling their ads from Twitter.
You totally lost me now. So Elon Musk is what? Is some trend is money behind?
He's on the
faction. Yeah,
that's the rumors going on because there have been pictures of him and the other guys in. So there's a lot of.
The sound of Perlmutter being on one side alone is enough to put me off that. Whatever faction Perlmutter is on, it's already putting me off. and if that's the faction that Elon Musk has thrown his money behind, oh God, help us!
I completely understand. It's like I don't know if you remember Avi Arad.
Yeah, of course now. Yes.
Anything Avi Arad does like this, I just be like, I'm on the opposite side of whatever. Like So I get it.
Okay. So yes, there's that big battle playing off. by this side. And I think that is what is necessitating some of this announcement of future projects, of making projects come out earlier to show investor confidence. Yeah. Like, oh, we have this big movie coming out and all of that. So that's part of it. So
right. God. You saying that makes a lot of sense. And it also now fills me with a lot of fear. Because
I've lost hope in Disney. Like, whatever comes out, comes out. I don't have the faith in them that they will do the right thing, because it's not determined by the creative choices that they need to make. It's now determined by what is best for whoever in charge.
And to be honest, we've seen what Disney did in terms of oversaturating the content of the MCU, the TVs, and all that kind of stuff. Oh my God, okay. Well, once they bought Marvel in 2011, we knew this was going to only go one way. Anyway, and then Kion, sorry, please.
Hey, come on. We got at least 10 years of great content.
I'm depressed, but Kion.
Well, yeah, okay. So after bashing Disney for the past few minutes, we are now talking about a Disney show.
Yes.
Yes.
One of the few great decisions they've made in the recent...
In their recent history. Okay, you guys have a... And I think Disney have been eating that out of the park with their foreign content. Moving, and now Iwaju.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, before I even go on to this, and I don't know, I'm going to ask this question. I'm not sure if anybody... I wonder how they go about finding these content from these markets. You know, how does it work?
I'm not 100% sure, but it's something to research into a bit on.
Okay.
Because I'm aware of, like, this Iwaju deal happened a lot of years ago. This is during the time of Black Panther 1. They were in talks in multiple comic houses in Nigeria, not just Kugali. I think Iwaju was one that just... Kugali was one that got picked from, and they went forward with that. So I think it's a lot of years of work to get to this kind of stage. So personally, I feel by the time you get here, you have to have been the best of the best in your local market.
Yeah.
And so it's easier for those kinds of content to stand out, because they are already at a level higher than the average Disney content.
Okay.
Do you think the average Disney content?
What?
You said you think they will already be higher than the average.
Higher than the average. Yeah, because the average Disney content is the average American content. Like, they pack everything in America for American audiences. But when they are picking foreign markets, they are looking for, okay, what's the best
foreign? Yeah, okay, I get you now.
Yeah, what's the best foreign?
If I'm going somewhere else, I'm not going to go and pick something average there. I'm going to pick the gems of that.
Yeah, exactly. But the gems of there might not necessarily be enough to be gems. They'll have a minimum benchmark. This is what I do. If it doesn't meet this animation standard or this production standard, it doesn't even get picked at all.
But for this, they are the ones that did the animation. It's not as if it was that did the animation. So they just got the story from there.
This is the part I was going to actually make that. Okay, this was a partnership with Kugali. So it's not like Kugali went away as a hair.
That would have been very
expensive. It was done in partnership. Was moving like that.
Was that I'm not 100% sure. So we can do an episode where we do a bit of research and deep dive into how these contents get picked and made.
See, can I just say something that was in my head? And I now think maybe I might be totally wrong. And knowing me, I'm wrong a lot of the time. I felt they were doing... Let me put this in the most polite manner. Who's cool now? And let's go and get content from that place.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a part of
it. Iwaju wouldn't have been made if not for Black Panther. Let's be honest.
Black Panther... Okay. No, I agree with that. But I was actually thinking more like, what country is cool? Like, South Korea
What country is cool?
Nigeria is cool at the moment.
What is the popular zeitgeist at the time? Nigeria is quite popular.
Yeah. No, it's what country... No, it's the same thing, I guess. It's why Nigeria is cool right now is because Black Panther made it that we, and then we're announcing a lot.
It's way more than that. Wakanda. Forget that.
Lot of Western.
Yes. Jamaica
big cool. I have a Nigerian friend. My Nigerian friend introduced me to suya or to jollof rice or to this. I think it was before Black Panther, and even more than like
Black Panther should apply to every.
You can't buy a Nigerian jersey.
Yeah.
And it's not just Nigerian people buying it.
Yeah,
exactly. You can't see it to buy.
Yeah. It's true.
I think
you got like Prime doing the same thing. You had Netflix, they've been doing it for a minute, if I'm being honest, with Netflix.
I mean, Prime has pulled out. Netflix is.
Well, yes. Okay. let's not go into that. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Right. So let's talk about the show. Who has seen this?
I've seen it already. Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
So
I've been slacking. Yes, I've been slacking. So what is this? Is it like an anthology or something? Because I'm like...
No, it's not an anthology. It's a...
Oh, it isn't.
It's a six-issue... Six episodes.
Story.
One story.
Yeah.
What is it about? Is it futuristic? Is it... Is it folklore? Is it...
No, so it's Afrofuturism. That's official term. But I'll use most cyberpunk.
If I slap you through the screen. I
know you don't like the term because...
Yes, exactly.
I know why you don't like it. But that is the official term for the...
It's a futuristic Lagos. It's set in a futuristic Lagos. And I would say... I don't think they date it.
Okay.
They don't.
But I would guess 30 to 50 in the future.
Okay.
Roughly.
Based on the technology,
The tech is not too crazy.
Okay.
That, you know, you find it unbelievable. You can extrapolate that text from, you know, with some imagination. It's a futuristic. And Lagos is very recognizable as Lagos.
Okay.
And
I'm already interested.
Even me not being a Lagos person, they use the current Lagos names, areas, so Third Mainland.
Wow. Are you serious? Now I feel bad. I haven't watched this.
Yes.
Yeah, so, like it's focused on Lagos, but then exaggerated a bit more. Like there's the whole mainland island conflict, which is now exaggerated to the peak.
The
island is now a proper futuristic state-of-the-art city, like one of the best cities.
More so than future cities.
Yes.
Where they talk about smart cities and all of that. That's what island is. Then mainland is what we imagine Lagos in the future. You still have your dam force, you still have your forecast, but you have drones, you still have you have new technology updated. So it's like...
Full of Iberus. Yes.
So what we talk about world building, that's done. But before we go there, like I want to just comment on how this partnership came to be between Disney and Kugali. So if you go back in time, like one of Kugali's mottos when they were first founded was that they wanted to take on Disney. This was way back.
To take on Disney.
I remember this.
Yes.
Oh wow. Yes. Okay. That's pretty ballsy.
They were going to kick Disney's ass. That was actually the language.
right. So,
give them props for big dreams. Yeah. So they got into partnership with Disney in 2020. That was when it was announced. If you remember the announcement, this was the same time they announced.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think we covered.
I want to say to Kex, and I'm a bit confused about my timeline. Me and Kex went to a Comic Con, and we went to the Kugali booth.
Yes.
And we bought some comics. Yes. So I'm trying to see, was this post that announcement or pre that announcement? It has to be post.
It was very, very, I think it was immediately after.
Right.
It was like 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah, because it was definitely after COVID.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been earlier than 2020. I think it was 2021, if not 2020. No, we weren't. Okay.
So, 21. It can't be. It was 21. Yeah. It was 21.
Yeah.
Okay, so go on. So I have the setting now. So who are the characters in Iwaju?
Okay, so Iwaju focuses on the story of Tola, a precocious 10-year-old girl who is the daughter of a tech father like yourself. Let me put it like that.
Sorry? Like who? Like Kex? If I slap you.
So, yeah, a tech genius, basically.
Yeah.
And who has this very complex relationship you see African fathers having with their daughters. Yeah. Where they're a bit...
Lunella Lafayette, like Moon Girl.
No, actually, no.
Okay. So the dad is more
genius. She isn't
to the star. She isn't.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Okay. Is the dad that's the genius, not the girl?
Yeah, the dad is a genius. The girl is a normal girl who is happy, go lucky. She's smart, but she's not super. Focus is an ordinary girl who is happy.
Yes. She's a nice person. She's a nice person. Main character. The dad, honestly, the dad's not a nice person, but the dad is a bit flawed in terms of he's obsessed with his work. You know, Niger father, as Tony said, typical Niger hardworking father attitude, and you know, upbringing, how they would normally. And stop me if I'm wrong today. The mother is absent,
completely absent.
Yeah. So can you imagine that? And the dad's rich, so the dad can afford to have what we would call house boy, house girl. You know, people who can substitute for him. In terms of, so there's a, I use the word major domo, but in Niger, what would you call that?
you call that the driver.
The driver, yeah, you call him the driver, but yeah, he doesn't. Yeah.
So we have that in the setting, but the main story is around like, okay, there are kidnappings in Lagos, and that's the most unbelievable part, but I like that optimistic future where the idea of 10 kidnappings of rich kids is enough to make the news. But yeah, that's good. But there are kidnappings in Lagos that get the father worried. And so you have the typical story of a daughter wanting to be more closer to her dad, wanting more freedom, and all of that going on underground. And then the kidnapping subplot, which also features the story of the houseboy, basically, who comes from the mainland.
Yeah.
And he's also under the thumb of the gang leader, the Jagaban. Of the crime, whatever they're calling themselves. So the girl gets kidnapped. The guy is made to bring the girl to the mainland, and she's kidnapped, and then we follow their stories up onto the 6 episodes. Yeah. So this story, before we get into very plot spoilers and plot details, one thing I want to shout out for this story is the world building. I think this is a very beautiful world. And I'm not just speaking for the fact that I'm Nigerian and I kind of recognize the elements being how faithful they are to the elements there, but in how they immerse you in the world. It's not, if you've seen Arcane where there's the rich section and the poor section, and they are beating you over the head that there's a rich section and the poor section, and the divide is completely divisive.
I kind of liked it.
So Arcane takes it over the top. And it's well done because that's the kind of story they are doing. This story also makes it very clear that there's that division. But the way it's done in this story, you find a lot of beauty on the mainland. Like, we get that sense of wonder from the girl when she's exploring the mainland, in a Buka restaurant. And all of that beauty, like, she's walking the streets, she's seeing drones that are selling, Oka drones, trying to sell her suya and puff puff. And it feels, the world feels truly lived in.
Yeah, so I wanted to make a point, because I got why I use the example of Arcane, but I wanted to make it very clear that while the mainland is where the criminals were in this show, we're not saying by any means of any long imagination or any stretch that the mainland was full of criminals. No. The mainland was clearly not as well off as Lekki or the island. The island was shown as very, very well off, very, very clean and modern. The mainland was more of what you'd expect if you just took Lagos right now and fast forwarded it 30, 40 years and add all the tech onto it. Basically built on top of it. But our main criminal element in this show also came from the mainland, and they were using the whole you know, you want to divide people. You go, those island people, they don't care about us. They're rich. They're rich. So he was just justifying his kidnapping of. So most of his kidnappers, I guess, were people from the islands.
Gotcha.
And he was justifying. So he's justifying it to his crew. It's us versus them.
No, but I think there's a real I think there's a real us versus them element in it, in how the world are. Yeah. Like the island, it's proper, like proper spacing, proper city. People are using scooters everywhere. There's a lot of tech. Like there's
but that is not us versus them. That is there's a difference. If you take Lagos now, there's a clear difference between islands and mainland, and there might be banter, but they're not truly fighting.
Yeah,
really. Most people in mainland want to move to island if they had the money, or aspire, you know, to move to the good areas. And to be honest, on mainland, I know there's some good areas on mainland itself, but obviously in this show, it's a very distinct line. But I actually felt that the main villain of this show was using that as an excuse to do what he was doing, to justify his
actions.
You know that kind of somebody who tries to act like I'm being helpful to my neighborhood. Yeah. So if he kidnaps a kid and let's say he takes 10 million naira ransom, he probably spends half a million dashing it out in the streets while he's taking the remaining 9.5 million and, you know, living large.
Yeah. And I think they made that what you just mentioned, they made it really clear multiple times in when he's taking out just a little bit of his money and giving out just for the satisfaction of giving out, not for actually trying to help people, but just to showcase his wealth and power. So it does a lot of these things very well. Like the world building, the technology is actually well done. And not just for... I keep saying that...
Can you mention the one of the core elements, the tech? I don't think we've mentioned it yet.
The robot?
Otten.
No, I'll get to that, but I'm still luxuriating in the world building. And because for me, I was going into this show saying, okay, it's going to be good for a Nigerian adaptation. I was thinking of Kizazimoto, that Moremi adaptation there. It's a step forward. But I think the world building in this story is genuinely great. That is like, it stands out on its own.
Wow.
Yes, this is some really good world building. And you can take it anywhere. And it resonates anywhere. And properly. Yeah.
Just to add to that, and I mean, in my review, the actors I praised the most were the design of the futuristic Lagos, the design of the tech they use, the design of the I love the design of the characters a lot. Now, there's a downside to that, in my view, because when you see a great design, then I'm interested in getting to know those people a lot more deeper. And I think, for me, that's where I think the show fell short for me. The main villain, brilliant design. Yeah. I don't know if you felt this way today, but as soon as you see that guy, he evokes instantly the typical big shot politician, corrupt, like F. It was perfect. He had that body shape. not even fat. But you know that big, imposing,
stocky kind of, but
and the guy was totally in full agbada as well. You know, he was well designed. I know what they're going to say. There's another character. I think she had the best design of them all. I just love the design. She's called Happiness. She was awesome. I really stopped laughing. I just loved her look. But she didn't do as much as I expected her to do. And to be honest, it's fair. The show's not really about her. But
it's a very short show. That's one thing we'll keep in mind. It's short. And there's a lot of focus on some elements that slow down the pacing in some places and allow them to focus on some character developments. Like, but you get the gist of who these characters are and what their motivations are. And I think for this kind of level of show, it works. The bad guy, what is what? And they did something really cute here where they go back and they tell stories from like different people's perspectives. We see the bad guys.
history,
how he was working as an houseboy, like why he steals and all of that. And in some ways, you can understand their motivations up to a level, but even though you don't sympathize with them or agree with them, you understand, okay, this is why the guy is doing what he's doing. This is why he's a criminal. You understand the young boy's Collie, the houseboy, yeah, that is friends with the little girl, you understand their motivations. You understand the, and I think this is something that if you grew up in Nigeria and you grew up with the experience of houseboy, house, I think most middle-class Nigerians grew up with that experience where there's someone that comes in from the poorer parts of town or from outside the state to be the houseboy, housegirl in that experience. Yeah. And then you see the relationship between the owner of the house child and then
the
houseboy. Yeah, like the difference in perspectives. It's not something Lagosians tend to focus on. It's like one of our biggest blind sides in growing up, but they make it really clear here, like the complete difference in perspective between the girl and the boy. Like the girl and the guy says something that it's only the rich that can see the beauty in certain things that the poor cannot see, that the poor actually see the work being done. So there's that optimism the girl has that is filled from her privilege, and the boy cannot relate to that bit because he understands the suffering he's going through. So like, even they are playing together, their relationship together, they play together, they have fun together, but there's that complete disparity. And and I think that's one of the best ways I've seen to show class differences in stories. Like, it's not always a hateful relationship. You are friends with these people, but there is just that difference in understanding. There's just that difference in perspective that class gives you. And they make it so, and this is where I really love it, they make it so that kids would understand this. Like, it's clear to kids that this is, there's a scene in the show where and the girl invites the guy to come and eat with her inside the house. And the guy is like, he's very skeptical. I don't want to do this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then even while trying to do that, they bring the food. And even the person bringing the food for them, she adds her own elements to it in the background. The way she snarls at the boy when the girl is not looking, the way she throws his food at him, the way she serves the girl the food, even the food they are eating. The boy is eating ewagoyin and bread. She's eating salmon. And
Are you serious?
Yes. Oh, wow. So they take the time with their details here to build it up. And it's like, okay.
This is the part where I thought, even as a young girl, I know she's young, but she's still 10. I found her a bit too naive to not, by the age of 10, if you're going to, you'd have realized, should have realized.
She's an Ajebota.
Ajebota.
Yeah, but Ajebota.
Is this Ajebota's miss? That sparky pickup is.
I felt that was very realistic to Ajebota.
You think Ajebota in Nigeria would not realize that the houseboy should be sitting at the table and eating with her?
At that level of precociousness the girl has, and that's the sheltered lifestyle she has been living.
How people say, no, you can't be sitting here, or please go and eat your own in the kitchen.
But I like that they show us that way, and it's like, okay, this is actually well done. It shows the class differences extremely well. And there's even not just that scene, there's another scene again which shows the contrast where it's the villain as a young boy. And we he was also the houseboy to a different family.
Yeah.
And we see the relationship he and his mom had with that particular family. And then you see the opposite way the rich people tend to treat kids like this, where there's no mercy, no sympathy, and they are just very callous in their rights.
It's still very deplorable.
It's still the same thing. Yeah. And then you get it. Like, it's so these are the little elements you are watching it. Personally, it resonates with the experience we've had, but you see the way it's being done to showcase this experience properly to an audience, and they should be able to understand it from their perspective. So on that level, on that storytelling level where you are explaining these things, I think this show excels at that. It excels at showing Lagos life.
I have three things I want to ask.
Yeah.
How is the voice work? Does it work
Right, so you know,
can I say, yeah. is it in consensus? Is it, yeah, does it work together with the animation?
You know, I talk about
fully immersive experience, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about the different aspects of that I liked and the ones I didn't like. Another thing I liked is the voice work. I loved the voice work. And I loved not just the voice work, I loved how they spoke our language, i.e. Pidgin, in the show. And I was, to be honest, I was surprised they went that far. And I was speaking to Tunde offline about this. I don't know how this will be received by non-Nigerians. I could not gauge. Because obviously this is something I know.
Yes.
Intimately.
In and out.
Yeah. So I couldn't gauge how difficult the ones they were using would be for a... I don't think anybody in sub-Saharan Africa will struggle. Generally, I don't think they'll struggle. I was more worried about how would a European.
So
yeah, go on. Yeah, today
I'm going to say something a bit here about it. So they use a lot of now. This is where I was talking to Dapo because I watched it with full subtitles on. When they are speaking English, the subtitles are on. But when they are speaking Pidgin or Yoruba, there is no subtitle for that. It's just written the way it is. So that's where I think they made a mistake. But also, I started paying attention to this a lot as I was watching. When they use Yoruba or Pidgin, it's usually clear what they mean.
What the context is.
What the context is. Like, there was a part where the guy was telling the girl that, oh, run away, sorry, kia, kia. And you see the girl running. Like, it's already in context of what is happening. So it adds...
It's almost like,
elements to it, and to be honest, we have people that watch Korean TV shows. The Sama Saba people have been watching anime for God knows how long, and where these phrases tend to filter into consciousness at the end of the day. So,
yeah, in a way, the example I would have given is like when I'm watching a Spanish program, and this is even before my Duolingo days, and So we start saying vamos, 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 vamos. You don't really need anybody to translate for that to you. Yeah, as you said, the context of this thing is enough for you to get what they mean.
I mean, even in Across the Spider-Verse, when his mom speaks Spanish,
there are
no subtitles.
Yes,
in it.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, so that might be what they were going for. But I would really like, because we are biased too, so I would really like to hear from someone who doesn't understand.
Yes.
What they're saying, to see if they actually...
And to be fair, all the reviews I've seen, I've not seen one complaint about the aspects.
Yeah, but so, all the reviews I've seen have been 100% positive. So it's like...
Okay, that's true.
So I'm not going to be that
Can I talk about some of my negatives?
No, let's just stay on positives for a while. Let's stay on positives. There's still a lot of positives to talk about.
Okay, go for it.
Kex, your question about voice work. The voice work is spectacular.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They sound Nigerian. They sound Nigerian.
Yeah, there's no...
It's very...
There's no American Nigerian or... It sounds like Nigerian.
It's a Nigerian actor. Yeah, okay. And then it's very clear. I feel like some parts, it might be a bit too slow, but... Then the one thing I like is the Ajebota speaks like an Ajebota Nigerian, and Pidgin is Ajebota Pidgin, and they make fun of it. So there's even that difference in how they speak there as well. So yes, voice work is great, it's top notch. You said you had three questions.
Yes. So I also wanted to ask about what is your perception of someone who is not a Western Nigerian or a Lagosian? If I was from Minna or I was from Enugu, if I was watching this, would I still be able to relate? Would I still be able to? Mm-hmm. Would I still be able to understand? You know, the way we watch Arcane, completely fictional, completely not even an existing, but we understood what the divide was, we understood what the central conflict was, we understood what the world was like. You know, so is that sort of the same? If I was not from the West, but I was a Nigerian, but not from the West, would I be able to?
Yes.
Can I ask that?
I would even say,
I would even say anybody from Sub-Saharan Africa will get it. I don't think there's an issue.
Good.
Like, it's not that specific.
Yeah.
And the story is, personally, I would say anybody in the world will get it. Like, the way anybody in the world will get Akin.
It's the same way anybody that is watching this show will get exactly what they're talking about. There is no, like, as much as the world building is layered with Nigerian context, there is no, it's not overly specific.
Everybody gets it. I agree.
Thank you. Okay. My third question, you guys already answered it. And that was whether, you know, that was for sort of a European or a Latin American, like, would they get it? Would they understand it? Would they be like,
so this is the one I'm not sure, because I cannot divorce myself from the fact that I know everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of thinking, would they get it? They might. I don't know. I can't honestly put my finger on it. He thinks that they did.
I think 100%. I don't see any problem with them getting this. Yeah. We've gotten context, like, we got the context of this show. Blue Beetle. We understood the context, even though there were some elements that were specific to their context.
I think
the entire story.
If you're Nigerian, if you understand Pidgin, or even if you speak Yoruba, you might get an extra 5%.
They spoke my language. That's my Easter egg.
You get an extra 5% pleasure, because
in it,
when they say certain things in Yoruba, they kind of like then especially in Pidgin English. So it's not like you're just in Yoruba. But you would have got it straight away. You didn't need the extra. And they were kind of translated in bits into Pidgin. Yeah, so you get all that kind of stuff there.
Okay.
And then they're like the signs that get a lot of Easter eggs. Like, you see posters at the year, you see NIS, you see things like that just remind you of home here and there.
The design does not, there's no doubt that you're in Nigerian language. Yes. The design is so well done. It's my favorite. The design of the character, the design of Lagos itself, even the future tech that they use, I'm happy with it. The core new tech also has some modes that the word for that mode is like an Easter egg for anybody who understands Yoruba. It kind of gives it away. If you know Yoruba, I want to say Ijamud.
So
negatives.
So not yet negative. We'll get negative, but the next part is.
Yeah.
I don't want to rush you.
Go on.
Part is going to be on the story level, and themes and all of that, and how it's done. I was having a discussion with that for offline about, and we are talking about all these movies that we think are made for kids, as an adult, you get an additional layer of story. We're talking about how difficult that can be to actually accomplish.
Yeah.
Having that multiplayer storytelling. And I think this story attempts it a bit, but it is primarily aimed for a much younger audience than ourselves, that some elements are properly drawn out because it's aimed for them, even though they're trying to tackle bigger themes, but it's not as if there's an additional layer that you would get.
I'm not convinced that was pulled off very well. At one point, I had to stop and say to myself, this is not aimed at you. This is aimed at a certain age group. But then, all of a sudden, the subject matter gets a very deep, serious subject matter. And I thought, okay. You know, kind of like, so I don't think it was blended as good as it could be. Going with the Nigeria theme, you know, when you you make your stew and you put the peppers and you blend it. You know, sometimes you could do chop stew, which is not fully blended. And then to me, this is more like chop stew than the old school fully blended stew. In my way, in terms of the blending of the adult themes
with the
child level, I thought there was a slight, you know, to be honest, I actually thought the whole kidnapping thing was a bit heavy, if I'm being honest. as a kind of balance. But then, in a way, the kidnappers sometimes seemed a bit inept. And it sometimes seems not inept, but very sinister. I don't know. I always found there's a bit of... But I have a kind of explanation, you know, from somebody on Facebook. I won't mention that person's name about, and this also goes to address my biggest issue with the whole thing, which is pacing. I struggled with the pacing. I thought it was too fast. So when I said pacing,
I thought it was too slow.
No. See, that's what I thought. When I said pacing, my normal complaint about pacing is too slow.
Yeah.
To me, this was the opposite. I thought it was too far. I thought they didn't let things marinate. They didn't let the characters...
Really?
Yes. I think the characters have room to grow. Even the relationship between Kole and... What's the name again?
Tola.
I think it was kind of rushed. I get what they're doing. I understood it, but it's almost like I was filling in the gaps. I think... It missed that organic growth between them and the characters. And I thought, we've only got 6 episodes to do this. We've got, I can't remember, 20 minutes each episode, something along those lines. So in the end, we're talking about 2 hours a total for the whole. And it goes from showing the background of the villains in flashbacks, Tola, Collie's story.
Everybody had their background show.
Yeah, so it was a lot. And then they quickly went from the whole idyllic homeland to the whole, I've been kidnapped. And then there's a layer on top of all of this of the dad's company, tech company. Her boss wanted this new tech to be ready. And to be honest, this new tech was given to Tola as almost a guinea pig. Like she was like the test.
She's a guinea pig, yeah.
To test this tech, which had some bugs. And at that time, I had certain bugs with it. To me, there was a lot.
So, yeah, I agree with you that there's a lot of different layers of stories happening at the same time. The father's job, the father's relationship with Tola was a big story. Tola's relationship with Kole was another story. Kole's relationship with his mom...
Yes.
Another layer.
Thank you.
Colin's relationship with the bad boss. Another layer. Now, then you now take Tola, you now put her with the kidnappers, then you now juxtapose her with the boss again.
Yes.
Another layer. You have Kole again, his relationship with Tola's father. And not yet another layer of story that they are trying to work in as well. So, like, they are trying to do a lot, and I get why they are trying to do it, because if you shave off any of these elements that I just mentioned, it makes the entire story weaker for it.
Oh, no, like, I agree.
Yeah.
My view after finishing it was, this could easily, in my view, have done with minimum 2 more episodes, if not 3.
Yeah.
I'm not saying 2 more episodes at the end, but spread it out a bit. Yeah, make it 9.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but a little bit, like, I'm afraid that's... I'm not sure. This is where I'm a bit confused, because I get where they needed to have some room to breathe, but there are some places like the second episode where I felt they had too much room to breathe, that they kind of cut out some things and make it move faster. So it's like, I'm not 100% sure.
I've been in dialogue, like, I made some comments with someone, and they gave some background to how they got to where they got to. Thinking about it now, I don't want to talk about that on air, because we might have a chance somewhere down the line to get these guys on the podcast, and I'd rather they say it themselves, you know, give it in their own words. So something out there for you guys to look forward to. Hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get them on. At the moment, obviously, I think they're right in the heart of the whole promoting this. You know, so, but sometime in the line, I'm sure we'll be able to get one or two of the guys on to, you know, just talk about this, talk about, you know, how they feel about the end product, where they go from here. But yeah, so Kex, I would honestly say, I mean, as much as that was my weakest part. And I remember when I first did my review, I was scoring some parts, like the pacing and the fact that some of the characters I felt could have been fleshed out more, especially Happiness, the driver. You know,
I don't want to like see. Here's the thing: Happiness, the driver. I don't think they should be fleshed out more.
I like
those characters. Yes. You know, Dapo, Kex, when you have this cool, mysterious character.
Yes.
And they are good as a cool, mysterious character. You don't need more.
I can leave that to the imagination. I think I'm with Sunday on this.
When you watch it, you come back to me.
No, see, Dapo, I would watch a spin-off of Happiness and the gang going off doing their own thing. Yeah. But like for this story, they don't need to be.
What I want to make to today is from the very beginning, I sensed without spoiling it. I sense the motivations of Happiness versus the motivations of the
boss.
But it was too lightweight. And then all of a sudden, in the end, when she did what I expected, I thought, that could have been beat up a bit more.
Okay, yeah. I see where you're going.
I think it was a lot more broad strokes than,
But that's a function of the timing of the show. And there is only so much, because why I'm not the pacing, I'm a bit confused about it, is that you slow this kind of show down a bit more, you lose a lot of momentum going into it. We already lose momentum already with backstories. Like every episode starts off with the backstory of a different character, with the point of view of a different character. So we're already losing that momentum. Mm-hmm. So if you are slowing the pace down to explore more of this element a bit more, slow down the speed of the story that you're getting.
There's a way you can do character building without it seeing slow. Don't get me wrong, you could do, if you do it badly, yes, it can slow it down. But if you do it well, it can be core elements.
Yeah, so that's where my own issue with the pacing comes in. And that's where I'm not 100% because I've seen this thing done badly before. It's like when you take shortcuts in telling your character story, like you apply, the character says one particular thing and everyone just instantly gets, okay, this is the character's motivation. We get it instantly. But filmmakers often do this thing badly. So not having it applied here in some scenes, like they could have done one single line from Happiness, maybe in the middle of this thing that explains exactly what she's going for.
So there are bits
of that there, but like that explains that okay, she's going to turn against the boss at the end. But like so it's not a match for me, it wasn't a function of the pacing was too fast, is that we are missing a couple of these key elements that build the relationships better.
Honestly, I feel there's a bit where especially the kidnapping. Boom, boom, boom. They're dead. I was like, I'm kind of relaxed now.
The weakest part to me was, in terms of story, the relationship between Collie and the father. There was a scene where you put two of them together and they already have their differences, but like, there's no chance for that difference. Like, there's supposed to be an additional exchange between both characters that you come to understand. Okay, this is where both of them are coming from. I think we are missing that element there. You get the, when you get there, you understand what I mean a bit clearer. Because the father already, you know, is the house of man of the house, and he treats the house boy the way you expect people to treat house boys. That people treat house boys, where they are very rude to them, get out of water. Then you find out that this is the kid that is responsible for kidnapping your daughter. And then you immediately brush past that part.
Yeah.
In the bit to rescue your daughter, and there is no exchange of okay, you tried to kidnap my daughter. I understand where you are coming from, or that kind of exchange where you exchange. I understand where you are coming from, but like that's. But okay. I'm angry at you.
Of course, I mean furious. You kidnapped my child.
So this is one of the issues. Now you were talking about him eating at the dining table, and
because
she's at Jabata, you said that she was okay with that. So this is one of the issues. Listen, there's no father in Naija, especially if you have rich, super rich, absent type father who only comes home probably, sees his daughter probably like a couple of hours a day, walks in, sees her daughter in the proper main dining table, having lunch with the gardener's kid or the kanda. Without saying, you know, let's be frank about how things work in Nigeria.
Yeah.
But he wasn't, fine, he did show some kind of, know your place, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then, you now find out that And remember, rich people always suspect poor people of being being up to nefarious things. You now find out that this guy is the one, and technically he was not responsible for. He was forced into being an accomplice. He literally had no choice. His mom was ill, and so. But obviously, me as a rich father, what did I say? Look at this guy. He's kidnapped my daughter. So the anger is what Tony was saying. That anger that you expect that will be there for God knows how long was quickly brushed past and almost.
And they moved to
swept under the carpet.
Under the rug.
Yeah, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, so like I would expect that anger to be shown, and
but maybe again, this is a factor of us as adults looking from another point of view,
our own perspective,
and you know, maybe this might be aimed at younger children might not see it the way we see that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's like the kind of element I was expecting to see that I was missing for me. Two things I would call out that I liked when Collie confronts the girl. When the girl accuses him, okay, you kidnapped me. We are not friends anymore.
Yeah.
And the guy blows up at her that you don't understand life at all. Like, me, I'm fighting for my survival right now.
She doesn't. I mean, I don't think we told Kex. This girl, up to the age of 10, she's never been to mainland before.
This is her first time.
So she's always been on the island.
Yes,
on the island.
Yeah.
So like that element is like that's where the show shines in showing their class differences and where their perspectives are different. So that element is well done. Then the other element is the relationship between the daughter and the kidnapping boss and how much he likes her.
Oh yeah.
So you know when you kidnap proteges at the bottom, and you are just annoyed with them that these people don't know anything, they are very stupid.
Yeah.
Then this girl, you kidnap this girl, and this girl is very polite. She's like, oh, okay.
But she's been manipulative.
Yeah, she's trying to manipulate her way out of it. And then the guy said, I see what you are doing. I'll laugh at you.
So she's like, yes, sir. Who's that? Big money, sir. You know that kind of like. and they're all laughing it, and then the girl goes, oh, God, I see you. All those tricks cannot work out, okay?
But still, they were like, okay, I see.
Cool, you can play, like, she's playing games with. So that part is where it's a kid's shoe. She's playing games with them, and it's realistic. You as an adult, you're not taking out of them. She's playing cards with them, she's learning. And then you see her trying to sneak to pick up a phone, and they can look at that. This is what they're trying to do.
Right. Actually, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
And this might be an age thing, but the writers of this show, I'm sure they're not anywhere near my age. They're age. They're probably closer to your age.
Yes.
So I want to ask a question. That game they were playing, did you recognize it?
The card game?
Yes.
It was what they were playing.
So you know what?
What?
Do you know the name of that game?
What? It's probably what?
So you know what?
WHOT. Come on.
WHOT, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought it was a dead game. I didn't know anybody to play this.
No, we grew up playing what?
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
I'm not heard of what in... I can't remember when last I heard of what. So when I saw that show, I was so shocked. Yeah.
it's still a big game. Like, people still play cards now. Yeah. A lot. Nigeria.
Honestly, I did not know.
It's here that
Ulu has ended to replace it. When I left Nigeria.
It's still a big game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, yeah, so like on that level, it's there. But like Dakwa said, my biggest issue with this story is that it's not for me. It's a good story. I enjoyed it, but it's aimed at a much younger audience. Yeah. There are some levels. It tries to do some thematic things well, but it doesn't stick the landing as well as I would have liked. There's a bit with the father's story. He comes from a poor background in the first place, where he goes to meet his friend, a police officer for him, and the guy says, get away. Who do you...
These are a lot of the shortcuts. I forgot about that. The whole police...
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we need a police friend of his to help him. Okay, let's quickly show a 2-3 minute scene background. Again, was it flashback?
It was a flashback.
Of his friend from back in the day. You know, and I think that could have done a bit more organically.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say, though, despite anything I've said here, it was, I found it a breeze to watch it. I watched it in one sitting. I just watched one episode after the other, one episode. And I didn't feel, I mean, you felt it was slow, which just surprised me. I felt it was a bit too fast. No, so that,
I felt the second, like when I said slow, I meant the second, like in my head, I watched the first, second, and third. The first episode, I felt, okay, perfect length. Second and third, I felt you could have combined these episodes together. You didn't need
right, okay.
Long to get to the crux of the story. Then we start getting to the hit points, and you can now feel them. Okay, they're eating check boxes here and there to get to the end that you were going for. So yeah, so there was that. But overall, I think it's a proper recommend, and not recommend because you are Nigerian recommend like we do for so like we do for.
Don't say anybody. Just say anybody. Just yeah.
No, I will mention Kizazi because as much as I like the as I like Kizazi as an idea, the anthology needs more work. Like, we need better stories to come out from that kind of anthology in future. And not just focus on the brilliant animation that they did there. But for this one, full thumbs up going forward.
Do you think there will be season two?
Season two. That would now depend on the reception. Critically, the story, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Would you want a let me. My question would be: let's say there was a season two. What would it be? Would it be the same characters?
A different. Story.
Story, exactly. I don't know. You know what would it be? Would you want another taller
because it's,
adventure?
No, it's. I think it's properly concluded. Yeah, you can do more stories. Like for example, I wouldn't mind a collie and taller as teenagers, where they begin to reckon more. As more much older, maybe university age, college age, this thing, where they begin to reckon more with their classism differences, because that's another area where that friction appears a lot.
This just occurred to me now. Yeah. I think maybe if they decide to do more season, let the character and the focus be Lagos itself, mainland, newland, and you just expect other people living in the same universe, kind of.
Yeah,
you know,
I would take that as well. Maybe do a different season focusing on your babe.
What is the name Iwaju? What does it refer to?
Iwaju means future. In this aspect,
that's literally what I thought, but I wanted to be sure that I did. So if it can be season two, can be an anthology of another family or another person.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's just basically it's just another Lagos futuristic.
I would actually want to see more of this particular world. The way it is now.
Yeah, same world, yeah. Different characters.
Not that I've got any. Biased in this direction, though. Maybe they just focus on Ibadan.
Yeah, but that's
no. This is Lagos. This is not. That's what's happening in Ibadan, please.
Okay, so what are you guys going to rate this one then?
So I gave it online. I know I gave it a 7/10. So that would translate to see. I hate this. When you have it, it sounds different. So
yes,
for once, I'm not gonna do what I did. So I'm not gonna give it 3.5. I am gonna add 2. So I'm gonna give it a 3.7/5.
Huh. That's actually roughly what I was going to give over 5.
Okay.
Yeah, because yes. 3.75 is fine for over 5, yeah.
Wow,
consensus on this. Yeah, and the only reason I'm trying to struggle not to rate it higher than that
I don't tend to get biased, but even in this case, the fact that I love the language so much, I hope I'm not being biased trying to nudge it up.
No, you see, that's the thing.
3.7 is a fair assessment of the show, personally. I wasn't sure where you were gonna go.
No, I feel like in some ways I feel I'm being biased, nudging it down. But then
I'm trying to remember. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, knocking it down because I'm comparing it unfavorably against some of the other shows we've watched. But I think, for example, I think this is heads and shoulders above something like Adventures of Superman. Heads and shoulders above that.
You know, sorry, I'm happy you said
that. Yeah, well, we didn't rate
they look
particularly highly.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to... So because of that, I'm trying to compare it to what animation... Okay. There's nothing like it.
Can I say something to you now?
Yeah.
I'm going to mention a show.
Yeah.
And I think you might be upset. I would suggest that Iwaju is as good, if not better, than Met Cadets. Silence in the room.
No, I'm thinking. I'm thinking. Because
totally different audience aimed at.
Yes.
To be fair, because Met Cadets is more I guess teenagers.
Yeah. Towards, this is more preteen.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm thinking, like, I find it very difficult to argue against that. Because Iwaju does a lot of things better than Mech Cadets did. Yeah. Like, it's a better world than Mech Cadets by far. The only thing that I think Mech Cadets handles better is relationships
and dialogue. And to be fair, Mech Cadets has a very straightforward plot line.
Yeah, so they have enough time to focus
on
those elements.
Yeah,
but this one we are doing a lot. This one, Mechanic was just a straightforward beat the bad guys and beat the giant monster. So they have enough time to develop and focus on dynamics between characters.
This is
doing a lot more different things as well. So we don't get as much, but So I honestly won't mind the season two of this one that focuses more on that, even if it's the same characters or a different set of characters. I won't mind the season two. I would like to see someone like the father reckon more with his past and his place in society, for example. I would like to see Tola grow up more, see how her views on classism changes and how she continues to see the differences in Lagos life going upward and downward. Then even Collie's struggles to better his family through positive means, and he's trying to fall back into crime and all of that. So, even the happiness and accrue going on more Robin Hood type crimes.
Yeah, so I would like to see happiness leave the group, move to Ibadan, get beaten up by some Ibadan market women. You know, that would be
come a good on. Story.
Why would she go to Ibadan? Would she like? Is it like maybe she's being
punished? Like she's? Oh, I don't understand that at this point. But 100% would recommend this particular show for people.
I think one, anybody from Africa should watch this. And you know, you mentioned Kizazi Mutu.
Yeah,
I find it hard to compare this to that because that was an anthology and there are so many different styles. So many, Iwaju is better than many of the entries in that, but there are also some good, very, very good entries in that as well. So that's why I find it hard to compare it to an anthology. But I would suggest that people should watch this.
I'll watch it. If you guys say I thought it was an anthology for some reason. So like,
No, it's not.
If it's an easy six episodes, I think I'll pick it up this weekend and see.
Okay.
Right. So, anything else today? What have we got next week? Actually, we've got Invincible.
Invincible is back.
Yep.
And we're going in on that.
Yes. Any comic book talk next week?
I mean, we can look at some of the new comics: Spider-Man, X-Men, Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Black Panther. Yeah. If we still want to continue that book,
we could give an overview of the Ultimate books. Not going to depth each, but you know, give us like what we think about each one overall, and you know, let people just give people an idea whether they want to pick it up or not. Maybe we come one each with a recommendation, I guess, of a book that we think
people should read.
Read, you know, and books that we think people should avoid at any cost.
It's been a while since we've done the avoid at any cost thing, but yes, let's go.
Let's do it. Okay, so episode 173 today. Yep. Let's start us off.
Yes, sayonara, people, and watch your wardrobe. Good night.
And guys, thanks for listening once again. And yes, I echo what today said. Please watch your wardrobe, and I will see you later.
Nigel Nerds.